I got in from Roanoke, Virginia, and got a lot of things done. Got in my car, drove down here this morning, and everybody tells me, they said, they're going to graft this cell phone to my ear. I'm always on the phone. People's always calling me or me calling them. And I listen to this. I try my best to let every situation and every person be my teacher. I do. And I hear people make these statements, and ever since the death of Nathan, they'll say, I know how you and Miss Mary feel. Now listen to me. No, you don't until you've lost a child. No, you don't. Well, I understand they got good intention. I know how you feel. No, you don't. No, you don't. I was in a church just recently. In fact, I got to be with him again this coming Sunday, Lord willing. I got to start with him, brother Sam Boer. He's sitting there, and he hadn't been to church for 2 or 3 months. And we're sitting on the front row, and he come in a wheelchair, and everybody was hugging on him and loving on him. They hadn't seen the preacher. We're sitting up here, and I know Brother Sam, good man, godly man. And he pulled his pant leg up, and I have never seen nothing that bad in my life. His foot was more blacker than my boots. And he said, Preacher, said tomorrow they're going to take my leg off. How would y'all handle that? How would you handle that if tomorrow you got to go to the house, you got to go to the hospital, and they're going to remove your leg? Boy, y'all are a quiet bunch. Are y'all on Valium? Prozac? Lithium? He's sitting there, and they're going to take his leg off. Oh, me. It's come over me. How would I handle that? Okay, that's one incident. So I hold a meeting for Brother Keith Gamble down in Bethany Baptist, and outside of Trinity, North Carolina. I walked in that room, Brother Gene. I hadn't seen Brother Keith. He hadn't told me. He hadn't said a word to me. Can you believe he's sitting in a wheelchair? He's not 55 years old, and they cut his leg off right here. Sugar, diabetic. My heart sank. Can y'all just imagine not being, can you imagine not having a leg? Huh? Shoo. A young girl, 26 years old, goes into a hospital. And listen to this. I would have got 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 opinions. They removed her leg up to here, 26 years old, only to come out 45 minutes later and say, we're going to have to go back in and take the other one or she'll die. And can you believe they cut her other leg off? I believe I'd have got me a 3rd or 4th or 5th opinion. Say amen. They'd have to convince me I was dying before they cut my legs off. Amen. 1 Peter, please, finds your place in chapter 4. Now, please take notes on me. 1 Peter chapter 4. Boy, it's good to see brother. I tell you, Brother Jay, he's standing out there, and I walked in this morning, and I said, Jay, you don't ever change. What kind of water are you on?
Spiritual water.
On what?
Spiritual water.
Well, that'll work. We want you to start sharing it. You're supposed to share it, Jay. Ew, you are too. Say amen. 1 Peter, please, chapter 4. Look in verse 1. Forasmuch then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. Now notice this. Lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Now look in verse 7, everybody. The Bible says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now what I want you to do is that little phrase where it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Brother Noble and I was talking a moment ago, and we just made mention about things that's going on, and things are happening with such a rapidity you can't keep up with them. How would y'all like to have a blessing this morning? Let me give you a blessing. Y'all's gas is 11 cents cheaper than ours. Y'all are a pitiful bunch. I mean 11 cents cheaper just from Somerset to here. That's a blessing. I might get me some garbage cans or tanks or carry me some home. Ain't it pitiful? You got shortages and famines and earthquakes. I ain't going to touch that earthquake thing. But I mean, I've never seen nothing like it. From Roanoke, Virginia, no matter where I'm at, Carolinas, I've never seen it. Listen to this. I was telling Brother Lawrence, before Jesus comes, if you read Matthew 24, it says violence. You may have seen it on the news, on CNN News. Did you know Monday of last week they had 38 shootings in Chicago, Illinois? 38 shootings. They're having all these committees to find out. They got gangs everywhere. And Charlotte, North Carolina, have so many drive-by shootings, they don't even put them in the front of the paper anymore. This is the most violent society I've ever seen. You got shortages of every kind. Now, if you really believe there's a gas shortage, I'll sell you some oceanfront property in Pulaski County. Don't believe a word of that junk. But now, I want you to notice the little phrase where it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Now, I believe this book. I may not understand all of it, but I believe it. Now, he says the end of all things is at hand. When you read your Bible, and you don't have to turn there, but just make a note of them. In Genesis 16, verse 13, there it says, for the end of all flesh hath come up before me. If you read Ezekiel 7 and verse 26, there comes the end of a nation. If you read the Bible in the book of, especially in the book of Proverbs in chapter 1, there's going to come an end of the grace age. Now, we're living in the grace age. All right, the rapture's going to occur, and I know people say, oh, brother, sister, I've heard that and heard that and heard that. But there's going to come an end to the grace age. Then I'll tell you this, there's going to come an end of life. Hebrews 9, verse 27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this to judgment. I never seen so many strokes and heart attacks in all of my life. The other day I come in, and my wife said, they want you to call them. So I called them. They said, you need to come to the hospital and see this dear brother before he leaves the world. So I go up there, Brother Jay, and I'm standing there beside of his bed, and he's got every kind of IV and oxygen on. He sort of looks up at me, and he says, takes his oxygen mask off. He said, well, Brother Sisson, the meanest preacher in all of Pulaski County. Hadn't seen him forever. So I'm standing there, and I notice that somebody's in the room beside me. This man looks over at me, and he's got his doctor's attire on. He said, are you this man's pastor? I said, no, sir. He said, well, would you please stay? I said, well, okay. Because usually when that happens, it's bad. So anyway, he said, called him by his name. He said, sir, he said, I can't do anything because of the growth on your spine, the surgeon. Then he says, I can't do anything for your heart because of the growth. I can't do anything for the growth because of your heart. And he looked up at him just as calm as anybody I ever seen in my life. He says, in other words, I'm going to die. Just like that. He said, yes, sir. Listen to this. He said, but if I'm going to die, get this junk off of me. He said, I don't want to go to heaven drugged up. I thought, I don't think you're going to be drugged up when you get over there anyway. But I mean, he says, get this junk off of me. Look here. And he said, I want to die at home. Listen to this. They took all the IVs off. They took everything off from him, all of his medication, everything, sent him home, and just a few days later, he exited this world. Now, Miss Ruby left this world. The end's going to come. If we live long enough, we're going to exit out of this world. You may have bank fulls of money, but it's not going to help you when that event comes. I've been told all my life, and I believe this, my old grandpa said, Mel, if you got friends and you got the Lord Jesus and you got health, you got everything. Amen. Boy, there's a lot of truth in that. Amen. But there's going to come an end. Now, I've got to go back and hurry. All right, knowing that the end is going to come, look in verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. He says, be sober. What in the world is he talking about? He says, be alert, be attentive. Will you agree with me that in our, ask out Brother Lawrence, I've been preaching for 44 years of my life. I have never seen such apathy in my life. It's like everybody has been lulled to sleep. They come in, they sit down, they get up, they go home. It's like everybody's on something. He says, be alert, be attentive. Now why? He knows the end's going to come. Now watch this, so write that down. If you don't need it now, you're going to need it. Be alert, be attentive. Now drop down to verse 7. And by the way, when he says be sober, he's not talking about drunkenness. He's not talking about that. Drop on down and watch it. Be what? Be therefore sober. And then he says, and watch unto prayer. So he says, be sober and then watch unto prayer. The older that I get, God knows, the older that I get, I believe, how many of you agree that if you can, you ought to get on your knees to pray? If you can. Am I the only two or three? But the older that I get, here's what I find. It's not so much the position that you get in, but it's the attitude of your heart. Now you can get on your knees, say amen to me. But I'm sitting there, he says, and watch under prayer. I am with that crazy bunch of preachers down in North Carolina. They'll stop and say, Brother Sisson, do you want a pack of nabs or crackers? Yeah, okay, we'll go get a Pepsi. No longer is it, I can't drink Pepsi anymore, I got to drink Pepsi free. When you get old, everything just falls apart. Right, Brother Larry? Hair grows everywhere other than it's supposed to grow. Y'all ever notice that? Don't you laugh at me, you sorry thing. My back ain't out yet anyway. It's going, but it just ain't out. Hey, watch this. But I'm with that bunch of preachers, and we'll get a Pepsi or whatever, a packer. And I believe you ought to pray. Say amen to me. I believe you ought to ask the blessing on your food. I look over there, and we're going down the interstate, and that fool's got his head bowed praying. I said, hey, you let me do the praying. You drive the car. Amen. But he says, watch under prayer. How do you do that? You can pray at the steering wheel. You can pray washing the dishes. You know, I don't know how to explain. I don't know. Some of y'all know me for years. I try my best. This is what I try to do. When I drive 8-10 hours for coming home, you know what I try my best to do? When I get crawling to bed, I say, thank you, dear God, for safeguarding the highways. Amen. When I get up of a morning, I say, Lord, please thank you for this day. Do you know, I know y'all think, I the older that I get, the more I realize how little that you have control of your life. How little you, I know you think you're at the steering wheel. I know you think you're guiding it and all this stuff. No, you're not. The older I get, the more I realize that. I was coming down Interstate 40. Anybody ever been from Asheville over to Knoxville? I've been so many times you turn my car loose, it'd go by itself. I was coming through there late of the night, and now then, they call it the gorge. That's the most dangerous place on Interstate 40, is that gorge. Especially when it gets freezing, the temperature drops down, and it'll drop down in that gorge quicker than any place else. Now then, all the trucks are to stay in the right lane. They got an arrow there that says no trucks in the left lane. All the trucks stay in the right lane. That's a good idea. I've been in there and trucks be backed up for miles and miles and miles. I was coming through that gorge one night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I passed this. I just happened to glance over and seen this truck, and he had these small dumpsters, not the great big dumpsters, the small ones. And you can call it intuition, you can call it whatever. I love to call it Spirit of God. Boy, I nailed that Buick, and I went around that. I mean, I sped up, and just as I got maybe a car length in front of him, I looked back, and dumpsters went everywhere. They come off of that truck. I mean, they just went everywhere. Well, he got stopped, and man, I got stopped, and I'm running back through there, and he's trying to push one of them dumpsters out of Interstate 40. Can you imagine hitting a dumpster at 500, let's just say a 500-pound dumpster, and hitting that thing 55 miles an hour? Can you imagine that? We was out there pushing them dumpsters out of Interstate 40 over on the corner side, and can you believe not one car hit us? Can you believe no other vehicle? That's God. You'd say whatever you want to. That's God looking after us. Amen. I believe it. I got in my car. We got all them dumpsters out of Interstate 40. And I said, Lord, thank you. Do you understand what I'm saying? This thing about praying, you can pray anywhere. Now watch it. Most of us, about the only time we ever pray is when we have a crisis. Oh. Well, we're going to have a good time this week, ain't we, Lawrence? He says, knowing the end's going to come, you ought to be sober. Number two. Then he says, watch unto prayer. Now watch this. Oh, I would to God. Hey. I'm going to ask you anyway. Anybody ever become your enemy? Anybody outside me? Hey, I got a guy who put a contract out on my life. If he thought he could kill me, if he thought he could do away with me, trust me, he'd do away with me. I try my best to be nice to that guy. He hates the ground I walk on. You ever tried to pray for your enemies? How many of y'all ever done that? How many of you have ever tried to pray for your enemies? I have no problem praying for Brother Lawrence. I can pray for Brother Jay. I can get on my knees and no problem there. But try praying for them people that hate you. Look at y'all's faces. I wish they had me a mirror. Try doing that sometimes. Man, it's easy to pray for people that love you. But Jesus says, pray for them that despitefully use you. Now watch it. He says, do what? Watch under prayer. Now watch it. Look in verse 8, please. Then he says, above all things, have fervent charity. What's that, Brother Sisson? Knowing the end's going to come, I'm to have boiling hot, running over charity, which is love. Then he says, one to another. Boy, that's one thing in our average churches anymore. They don't love each other. Now watch this. Look at your Bible. Then he says, have fervent love among yourselves. John 14 says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. I've been coming down here for years. We used to meet in the old building. I never come down here that don't think about it. I've been in evangelism 26 years of my life. Now everybody look up here. Y'all got a good look at, y'all got a beautiful auditorium. One, two, that is pitiful. That is pitiful. But did you know it's not the carpet on the floor? It's not the padded pews. It's not the chandeliers. Would y'all say amen? Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one toward another. That's what the Bible says. Our day and time, that's not the general norm. No. But he says, have fervent love among you. Why, Brother Sisson? Knowing the end's going to come. Now watch this. Another thing right quick. Look down, if you would, in verse 9. Then he says, use hospitality one to another. And would somebody tell me the rest of the sentence? Without what? Say it again. Without grudging. That's what the Bible says, that we're to be given to hospitality. Now, the elderly people, in years gone by, that was a rule of thumb for them. Used to, people helped each other, and they didn't expect anything in return. They liked helping people. Say amen to me. And they knew it's a biblical thing. He says, look in your Bible. The Bible says in verses, look in verses, use hospitality one to another without grudging. So in other words, if you see Brother Jay in a ditch, you ought to be willing to get in the ditch with him. Oh. Amen. I can remember when I was a little towhead of a boy. Used to, we carry kids. We couldn't do a whole lot, but we could carry nails and buckets of water. Used to, or they'd be building a shed on, or maybe a bad incident happened. Maybe they had a death in the family. Do y'all remember that? Used to, when you had a death where I was from the kid, they brought the body home. Do y'all remember that? And used to, everybody and their brother, everybody would come to the house. Do y'all remember that? And they'd bring food. Do y'all remember that? And sit up for 2 or 3 days. Do y'all remember that? But I'm saying, when I was a boy, we used to go put their crops in, milk their cows, help them. Didn't expect nothing in return. Amen, sister. We're talking about why you should do that, knowing the end's going to come. That gets a little better. Look on your Bible. Drop down, look in verse 10, please. Oh, watch this. I may not get all this done. As every man hath received. Hey, listen, I'm not an English major. What is the word hath mean? H-A-T-H. Hath. Half. H. Well, come on. H-A-T-H. Past tense. Now watch this. As every man hath received. That means that Noble Crowley, that means Kathy, that means Brother Jay, that means Brother Gene, everybody in this building has Earl. I'm sorry. I know what I said. I just want to see if you was paying attention. Did you know that means every one of us has got a gift? But y'all nod your head. Every one of us have got a gift. He's got a gift I don't have. I'm not to covet his gifts. Some have got gifts of making coconut cream pies. Some have got gifts of making beans and fried potatoes and cornbread. Whoopee! Y'all wouldn't smile for nothing. I was down with them Indians talking about gifts. And I'd preach from Sunday through Sunday. And I love them Indians. I love them. And wild as they are. They said, Saturday morning we're going to go over. We're going to eat flour bread. Brother Laird, do you know what flour bread is? How many of y'all know what flour bread is? Do you really? I didn't. Honestly, before God, I didn't know. I'm from Kentucky, and I didn't know what flour bread was. So we get on the next morning here, Saturday morning, we all get over, my wife and I, and we head to this little bitty hole in the wall, and we go in there, and we eat flour bread. I said, what in the world is flour bread? Okay, it's about that thick, and they fix it on a grill. They brand it on one side. It ain't nothing but like a, y'all know what a hoe cake is? Does anybody hear it all? Do y'all know what pone bread is? Pone bread. So anyway, they rolled it out, Miss Kathy, about this big, and they flattened it in her hand. They put it on a grill, and they brand it, and they flip it on the other side, and then they put brand it, and then they put fresh strawberries over it. Y'all hungry? You talk about good. Y'all ought to try that. Oh, my soul. And then they put whipped cream on top of it. Man, alive is that good eating. Now watch this. Some people have got a gift of cooking. Some of you people, women especially, women's got this gift. Men's got very selective hearing. My wife told me the other day, she said, now I know why that you men work on old cars. I've built old cars all my life. Sister, she says, you can only do one thing at a time. Us women, you know, watch this. Women, they can cook, iron, wash, and be tuned in for their kids at the same time. Men can't. Every woman in here is nodding her head, but a man ain't doesn't look at me like strange. But that's the truth. Women can, they got their ears tuned for their baby crying or whatever. Lord, do I need help? Lord, would you please help me? I'm saying we're to, let me show you this. Go back to the first book of 1 Corinthians with me, why it's on my mind. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians, please. Look in chapter 7. We're to use our gift or our talent, and without, I mean, we just do it. I mean, we're to use hospitality without complaining, but then we're to use our gift and our talent as a good steward of God. Now, hey, watch this. Some people have just got a gift. I mean, a gift. I can't lay block. My preacher can, but I can't lay block. He can lay brick. I can't lay brick. I can do anything. I can frame. I can wire. I can plumb. I can do anything, but I cannot lay brick. I can't lay block. Now, some people are multi-talented. Some people can work in wood, and some people don't know when to get their hands out of the wood.
I don't have no scar.
That's amazing.
I don't do wood anymore.
That's a blessing. Come over here one day just calm. I was somewhere back there. He said, Brother Sisson, his hand is just pouring the blood and had stuff wrapped around it. I about left it. And it looked like hamburger meat where that saw had kicked back. Am I right? I don't believe that's your talent. You need to get that, your gift. You need to get rid of that thing. You know I'm picking. But some people, they're cabinet makers. Some people are furniture makers. Some people have just got gifts. I mean, some people have just got gifts that they can just coordinate. You ever seen people like that? I mean, do you ever see people they can just get things done? I want you to look in 1 Corinthians 7 and look in verse 7. Look in your Bible now. 1 Corinthians 7. Look in verse 7. Paul says, but I would that all men were even as myself. But every man hath, H-A-T-H, there it is, hath his proper gift of God. I'm not to covet your gift. You're not to covet my gift. In fact, we're to use our talent to do what? To glorify God. Now look over and draw your arrow and look in verse 17, please. Same chapter. Look in verse 17. Ready? Ready? Hey, read it to me. Read verse 17. Anybody? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. Now read it real loud. Come on. Okay. Now look in verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man. Okay. So we've all got a gift. Some people, I believe, my mother-in-law God, I believe this with all my heart. My mother-in-law was 92 years old when she left this world. She had a gift of just giving. Boy, that blows people's circuit board. The more that woman gave away, the more come back. She's the most liberal-hearted person I've ever seen in my life. Now, some of that stuff that she gave away, I used to fuss at her. I'd say, ma'am, I'll quit sending him money. I'm talking about that questionable stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Do you hear what she'd say? She'd say, I guess you've never read that one day God's going to judge every man. And I guess you know that if I give it to him and my heart's right and he misuses it, he'll pay for it. I said, I stand corrected, Mamma. Amen. Okay, it gets a little better. Go back, if you don't mind, to the book of 1 Peter. Why am I to do this? He says, the end of all things is ahead. I'm to be sober. I'm to watch. I'm to pray. I'm talking to Melvin. I'm to have fervent love amongst ourselves. I'm to use hospitality without complaining. Verse 10 says, I'm to use my talent, my gift, as a good steward of God. Some people have got a gift of just teaching the Word of God. Do you hear what I said? Teaching the Word of God. Brother, if you ever get a chance, look up here, Brother Lawrence. If you ever get a chance, for whatever reason, if you can get Dr. Barry Dixon, if he ever gets around, get him to teach a class. Get him to teach a class. I taught him well. I'm just kidding. Boy, Dr. Dixon has got a gift. He's a doctor. He's an MD, and he's a good doctor. He's a practicing physician. His wife said, he ain't never got it right. That's the reason why he's still practicing. But he has got a gift of just teaching the Word of God. And I threatened their lives. I said, leave him alone. Teachers are a gift to the local church. But as a teacher, now watch this, and these long tongues get to running, and they'll say, are you right sure God didn't call you to preach? I'm talking about a good teacher. Yeah. Now he's in the role that God warned him. Say amen. He can teach. But now watch this. And then people will put this thought in his mind, well, just maybe God called you to preach. Maybe you missed your calling. And so now watch this, and he gets to entertain it. So he steps out of teaching, and he gets into preaching, right? Oh, Lord, y'all are a pitiful bunch. Time goes by, and you hear that they've gone to pastor church. And you'll ask them, they say, well, how's everything? How's your new preacher? They'll say, boy, he's a good teacher. But he can't preach his way out of a wet paper bag. Do you know the reason why? He stepped out of the role that he shouldn't have been. Somebody said, well, what's the difference between preaching and teaching? I said, preaching is teaching set on fire. Y'all need help. So I'm saying some men have just got a gift of teaching. Now watch this. Drop down and look, if you don't mind, in verse 11. Now we're saying this because we're to do this. Now watch, look in verse 11, please. If any man speak, look in verse 10. As every man hath received a gift, even so minister, now watch this carefully, the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now look in verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as which the, what would y'all say it back to me? The ability which God giveth. Did y'all see that? Y'all see that? God is the one that gives him the ability to do what he does. It's not, I see so many people get so mixed up in this stuff, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be ugly, but what am I to do? You're to use your gift and your talent as a good steward of God. Verse 11 says, we're to serve in the strength of the Lord. He says, as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified. So in a church, God puts all of these multi-talented people. And guess what? We're to use our talent to the glory of God. Amen. There ought not be these big eyes and little U's in our churches. You're more important. No, you're not. Hey, Brother Noble, how many of y'all have ever flown an airplane? I mean, you've been in an airplane. I should reiterate. You ever flown? I'm going to ask you a question. Look up here. We have been so brainwashed that we think the pilot is the most important person. Right or wrong? Right? Huh? But that's not true. If you think about it, how would you like to get in that airplane Even though you may have the best pilot that's got degrees down to his ankles, how would you like to get in that plane knowing you didn't have a certified mechanic? Hello. Some of the color y'all losing, your color of your faces. Think about it a moment. Is not that mechanic just as important as that pilot? How about the man that assembles a plane? Ain't he just as important? How about the individual that makes all those rivets? Just as important. How about the person that cleans a plane up? How would you like to get on a plane that had about that much garbage in it? How'd you like to get in one of them? Is he not just as important? So my point I'm trying to get you to see, I'm trying my best to get you to see, we're to do this because the end's going to come and we're to use our ability in the strength of God and not in our own selves. That's a whole lot of people's problem. They try to do it in their own strength. That's the reason why they feel burnout. I never seen so many preachers quitting in all my life. Let's go back. Notice we're to serve in the strength of the Lord. That's verse 11. Verse 11 says, look in your Bible. Then he says, do what? And all things may be glorified. Knowing the end's going to come, we're to do this and glorify God in all things. Look in your Bible. Now watch this. I have a real problem. I have a real problem with this. Y'all can straighten me out, jump on me. I've been done all that before. They wanted to know that I wanted to go. Now, I'm not a NASCAR fan. I'm not a sports fan. I love to fish, don't get to go. I love to hump, don't get to go. I like old cars. I like old cars, so I guess that's my downfall. But now watch this. They wanted to know, did I want to go down to the Charlotte Speedway, and did I want to get in one of those NASCARs and do 168 miles an hour and let them take my picture? I said, no. You dress up, put a helmet on, and you climb in this thing, right? You get in there, and they put this three-point hitch in, they send you in, and they go around three laps. Yoom, yoom, yoom. On the third lap, they take your picture, 100-plus mile an hour. What is that accomplished? Look up here. Nothing. Say amen. What is it accomplished? Nothing. Now, I know y'all don't have to agree with me. Y'all don't be wrong if you want to. Get in a car doing 200-plus miles an hour. To me, that's all. It doesn't accomplish anything. School teachers anymore, they don't even make hardly a living wage compared to the world. Cops lay their life down every day. Policemen, firemen, they lay their lives down. And watch this. If we give them the money that these sports fans get, oh, dear God, can you believe it? They paid that teacher $150,000 a year. Well, at least they're trying to put an input in people's lives. Oh, Lord, help us. Y'all looking pitiful. When you get down, boy, and you get through a lot of this stuff and get down to the bottom of it, a whole lot of this stuff ain't going to amount to a whole lot. Say amen right there. Here's where I have the problem. These guys come from Venezuela and play ball over here. We pay them hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars to play a low-down game. And they get up there and clean off all the... Get up there and count the rosary. And get up there to bat. Am I right or wrong? To play what? Say it back to me. A game. Four-letter word, a game. I got a whole lot to say about them game things. Our kids are sitting and that's all they know is electronic games. Don't anybody ever think what's down the road? They don't teach them any work ethics anymore. All they're going to... Anybody outside me have been to Walmart or Wendy's or McDonald's? You ever give them change? Let's just say your bill's $4.89. Y'all done that lately? $4.89, right? You give them a $5 bill and they look at you. How many of you was taught multiplication when you went to school, your multiplication table? Was you, son? What's 12 times 3? Good. See how fast she rattled that back? Most kids can't do that. Did y'all know that? My point is watch this. We got a whole generation that's coming up out here, they can't even think for themselves. They don't have a calculator. Let's go back. So while we're to glorify God in all things, verse 12 says, now watch this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing... Look in verse 13, please. What does your Bible say? But rejoice. Oh, Lord, help us. Knowing the end's going to come, what should I do? We're to rejoice even in suffering. Boy, that's a mouthful. Say amen. Boy, when somebody you love is laying there in a coffin, he says, rejoice. But look in your Bible. He says, verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Why should I do this? Because the end's going to come. Drop down, watch it. Verse 17. Then he says, let me read verse 16. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him be glorified on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be to them that obey not the gospel of God? Did you know knowing the end's going to come, we're to judge ourselves? But we're always busy judging everybody else. Buddy, I have a hard time keeping Melvin straight. The other day, I'm talking here a while back. Did anybody ever go to Walmart? I got my wife just needed some things, and I was in a hurry. I really was. So I got the things, and I'm standing there. Boy, this woman looked at me, and if looks would have killed you, I'd have died. Now, you got to know me. I said, ma'am, have I done something to offend you? She said, don't call me ma'am. I hadn't opened my mouth. I said, well, since you don't want to call me ma'am, I said, woman. I said, what have I done to you? Have I ruined your day? What did I do to you? Well, you didn't do nothing to me. Then I said, if looks would have killed you, I'd have died. Well, I thought you was going to get in front of me. And I caught myself. I said, started to say ma'am again. I said, oh, excuse me, you don't want me to call you that, woman? I said, I will apologize. I said, my southern upbringing, we just call people ma'am. And I said, that's a respectful term. It's not disrespectful. Okay. Look at y'all's face. I can breathe there and get in trouble. But hey, we're to judge ourselves. I mean, Kat, how many of you at some time in your life, you just don't like yourself because you overreact? Am I the only one that you overreact? He says we're to judge ourselves, but we're so busy judging everybody else. We're so busy. We got this eye gate, and boy, we're always looking and we're always judging other people. I know what I do. No, you don't. No, you don't. So guess what? We're to judge ourselves knowing the end's going to come. Now drop down. Let me show you. Watch it. Look in verse 19. Then he says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will... did I read that correctly? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the what? Boy, that blows these television preachers out of the water. It plainly says, if they suffer according to the will of God, there's some people that I believe with all my heart that I believe that God can heal. But I believe it's the will of God that some people just lay sick. I don't understand that. There's a ministry of suffering that I don't understand. But he says, do what? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. What am I to do? Knowing the end's going to come, I'm to be sober, verse 7. I'm to watch unto prayer, verse 7. I'm to have fervent love amongst ourselves. That's in verses 8. And then verse 9, I'm to use hospitality without complaining. And then verses 10, we're to use our talent and our gifts as a good steward of God. Verse 11 says we're to serve in the strength of the Lord. Then in verses 12, I'm to rejoice in suffering. Hey, look here. I don't like needles. I went to the doctor, Dr. Dixon. Boy, Melissa's a good friend. She's a good friend. Dr. Dixon, I run my body down and I get so run down sometimes that honestly I just bottom out. And when I do that, my immunity is so low that people come up and hug on me and love on me, and I love that. But they got all kinds of... And listen, and then I catch them when I get that low. So I had to go get me a shot. And I said, Kate, ain't there some other way we can do this? I just don't like needles. Say amen. But he says, rejoice in suffering. I wasn't rejoicing too much. Then he says, verse 17, we're to judge ourselves. The other day, I got this. I'm going to do it if I die. I'll probably die doing it, but I'm going to do it. We got this guy in Somerset, bless his heart. He's probably about 20 years old. And I'm standing at Wendy's one day, and I looked there, and he has got two stainless steel bolts in his ears. This preacher the other day told me, he said, you ought to tell him he's a lightning rod. One day lightning is going to strike him. Well, stainless steel. Y'all ain't got no vision. Y'all ain't got no imagination at all, have you? Can you see the smoke boiling? But he says we're to do what? We're to judge ourselves. Well, my wife read me the Riot Act. She did. She read me the Riot Act. Now, sometimes I take it. Sometimes I won't take it. These guys that's on these sickles, these what you call motorcycles that lay down on them and fly on them, yeah, and raise them up, and they're really show-offs. Most of them are, not all of them. Most of them, somebody must have one of them things. But what I'm telling you, these guys that's got these tattoos, not all of them. Now pay attention to me. That's got the tattoos all up and down their arms and tattoos and all the things. They're a different sect, if you understand what I'm saying. They're not like guys that's got no Harley. Honestly, they're different. They're different. Evidently, y'all don't believe that. I've had more run-ins. I've seen more wrecks. I've pulled them out from underneath cars. Cussing. All them four-letter words that I'm not going to tell you what they use. Ain't that pitiful? And my wife read me the other right. She said, what is the difference in them doing what they do and all these guys out here hot-rodding these cars? I said, Mary, I sit over and hush. But she said, honestly, she said, what's the difference? So I thought about it. There ain't a lot of difference. Don't y'all ever judge yourself? Oh, look at y'all's face says, don't you ever just judge yourself? Y'all ain't reading it, are you? It's what the Bible says we're to do. We're to judge ourselves, not be so quick to judge everybody else. Now, I got to show you this. Then verse 19, knowing the end's going to come, I'm just to commit myself unto God. Boy, it bothers me, Brother Jay. I have never seen such sickness. I've never seen so many amputees. I've never seen so many heart attacks, strokes. But you know what I'm to do? Here's what, everywhere I go, I've never seen nothing like it. Brother Sisson, what are we going to do? Gases. How much is it down here for what? $4.59 at home. Brother Sisson, what are we going to do? Milk's $4 plus a gallon. Gas is $4 and something plus a gallon. What are we going to do? We're to commit ourselves to the Lord. Let me tell y'all this, bust y'all's bubble. Can you believe I got on my desk and I got it from the Social Security office themselves? Did you know I've got it in print, signed in my files, that in 11 years, Social Security is going to go bottom up? I kept the letter. I'm going to keep the thing. At the rate of the death, at the rate of the birth, at the rate of the draw of Social Security, the baby boomers, in 11 years, the way things stand right now, Social Security goes bottom up. Well, what are we going to do? Commit ourselves to the Lord. Same God took care of the Israelites, take care of us. Amen, sister. Hey, I believe that with all my heart. I believe if you honor God, God will honor you. They didn't have no Social Security when the Israelites came out of Egyptian bondage. Hey, God, did he not take care of them? Say amen to me. I got to think the other day, that's dangerous for me to think. Their garments didn't even wax old for 40 years. Well, I bet they smelled. See, I told you y'all don't think. Their shoes didn't even wear out. But God gave them water out of the depths and busted the rocks. Amen. Gave them manna from heaven. Quail. They fussed about that, and then God gave them quail, and then it come out their nostrils. The same God that took care of them will take care of us. Amen. What do we do, Brother Sisson? Knowing the end's going to come, and the end's going to come. Brother Lawrence, God is my... I'll close in a minute. Quit looking at me like that. Hey, look here for a minute. Listen to me. Listen to me. Watch this. One of these days, the end's going to come, and how are you going to face it? Has been, used to be washed up, dragging into heaven. I don't want to do that. Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Help us, I pray, this morning. Bless these dear people. I pray, help me to encourage them. Help us to be a blessing. Then, Lord, save some poor lost sinner. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You didn't think